All right, welcome back, folks. Second hour of the War Room is on. We got five more minutes with Jason Jones. You can follow him on X at Jason Jones VPP, and do us a favor and retweet his latest tweet to Netanyahu, because Netanyahu and Israel is pushing this idea that they will be the defenders of global Christianity from January 1st, JNS.org. Netanyahu pledges support for global Christian communities under Islamic threat. Meanwhile, they are genociding Christians in the West Bank as we speak. And I noticed in a comment to that tweet, somebody named Susie says, it's the Arabs cleansing the Christians from Bethlehem, actually. So Susie knows. She knows. I mean, you were just there.
And by the way, I interviewed pastors and priests, Lutherans, evangelicals, Anglicans. I interviewed the Christian mayor of Ramallah. Ramallah is 80% Muslim. I interviewed the Christian mayor of Ramallah. I interviewed the Christian mayor of Bethlehem. Those will all be dropping soon. They all have a different story to tell, but no one wants to hear their story because it comes with a cost. Standing up to the state of Israel comes at a cost, whether you're on the political left or you're on the political right. But people need to maybe check the weather, because I think continuing to turn a blind eye on this ethnic cleansing and genocide is going to come at a cost. And people, you know, there's just the decadence and the insincerity on serving the persecuted church drives me nuts.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, what are you doing in Nigeria? And people would ask me that when I'd post on Gaza. And then I wouldn't even comment, but people would post a lot of my work in Nigeria. And they'd go, right. Well, what is he doing in India? And then they'd post what I'm doing in India. At the end of the day, they just want me to shut up.
They want to try to discredit your very valid concerns by saying, oh, you're not allowed to talk about that unless you also talk about this.
You don't have to talk about everything.
Right.
I'm pro-life. I don't want everyone fighting to protect the child in the womb from the violence of abortion to drop what they're doing and advocate for Palestinians or Nigerians. But
we got a lot of problems.
We all have a lot of things to do. We all specialize in what we do. But at the Vulnerable People Project, this is our unique commitment to stand with communities outside of social concern facing ethnic cleansing, genocide, war. But you look at Sudan, just how insincere people are. They look at Nigeria. That lasted a week. Mm. It was just, don't look at Gaza. That's what they were saying. Okay, now let's go to Sudan. Sudan, you have the SAF. The Sudanese Armed Forces, both sides are genocidal lunatics. There's not a good side to bet on. But Hemeti, the Janjaweed, the Rapid Support Forces, have allied with the Christians, the SPLM North. And the SAF is slaughtering Christians. Well, who do you think the United States is backing in a war between two sides? One side is slaughtering Christians. And one side includes Christians, like the SPLM North. Israel and the United States is backing the SAF.
Right.
So again, you ask, what can we do? Let's stop the Shtema settlements. Let's stop the settlements outside of Bethlehem and Beth Zahor. Let's protect the Shepherd's Field. And then let's also say, hey, Netanyahu, President Trump, if you are really serious about protecting Christian communities, again, just talk to our allies.
Right.
Talk to Sudan. Talk to India. Talk to Turkey. Talk to Israel. Stop persecuting Christians.
Yeah. Yeah, if you want to protect Christian communities, try the ones in your own country first, and that would be a great place to start. But, you know, obviously they're interested in weaponizing evangelicalism, and of course that's going to have terrible effects here politically as well, because they've sort of hijacked the Republican Party and are trying to fully take it over. So anybody that's against what Israel's doing is being told your only option is to go to the socialists and the Democrats. So we really have a tough road ahead of us
I think the loudest, clearest, most level-headed and consistent voices for the Palestinians have come from the political right.
I agree.
And I see a lot of virtue signaling on the left, but not when it push comes to shove, not a lot of risk-taking.
Yeah.
I see, like, with Tucker Carlson and you and others and Candace, they're taking real risks to advocate for the Palestinians. Where on the left, you see they're just kind of playing that game.
It's just sort of an outgrowth of their general anti-white
hatred. They are for the Palestinians for the same reason a lot of this audience, you guys, are for the for the Israelis. It's intersectionality. There's right-wing and left-wing intersectionality. But what we have to do,
we just want to save innocent people.
Yeah, we just want to protect children from being eviscerated by bombs paid for and made here in America.
Incredible stuff. Go to vulnerablepeopleproject.com, thejasonjonesshow.substack.com. Follow Jason Jones on X at Jason Jones VPP.
I'm funded by you. and I appreciate your support. Very humbly, thank you for your support, those that have. Those that have it, what are you waiting for? Our information is bar none the best. The supplements are game-changing. The Methylene Blue, the Shilajit, the IRC Moss, the widest selection of Patriot Apparel, t-shirts, ball caps, hoodies, sweaters, you name it. But there's a deal going for a few more days where you buy any supplement and get a bottle of the Shilajit gummies or Atomic Defense Super Immune Booster free. You choose which free gift you want. That funds our operation at thealexjonesstore.com. I want to thank those that have stood with us. If you're going to buy anything, become a VIP. Just in your profile, $30 a month, cancel anytime, no charge. You get $40 every time you spend $30 to spend. So you make $10 if you're going to buy anything, you should be a VIP. You get special deals, special offers, special sales on top of everything. Also, you get big discounts when you use the app for Android or for Apple at alexjonesapp.com. Just links you through to get the free apps right there. So it's the same shopping cart online. TheAlexJonesStore.com. I want to thank you all for your support.
And in downtown Dallas, the first reports say that President Kennedy has been seriously wounded.
Growing concern about a new and rare pneumonia-like virus.
Trafficking charges, hanged himself with a bedsheet. His accusers vowing to get justice.
Psyop Queen. Psyop Anime. That is from one of my new favorite accounts on X, Psyop Anime. We showed the video he did yesterday. I'm just, again, blown away by the fact that you can have a raid on Venezuela Sunday night, and by Monday morning, you have a fully realized dramatic reinterpretation with, you know, fully fledged action anime animation. It's just, it is wild, and I love seeing it. Welcome back, folks. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Really powerful first hour from Jason Jones about the real threats against Christianity, especially in the Middle East. And I really hope that this is somewhere that we can draw some attention and use some of the influence that we have. After all, this does work. In fact, what we'll talk about now is something that I've been talking about for a very long time. I need to stop saying that, but the problem is, I talk about stuff for years and nobody seems to care. And then all of a sudden, everybody cares about it. And I have like this whole backlog of, you know, catalog to look back to. Diversity in the symphony. Blind auditions. It is emblematic. It is a like a metaphor for everything wrong with DEI. And I've explained it over and over, especially in context of like AI and how AI is being programmed. But this guy, who we'll show you the video in just a second, he was a top-notch, you know, orchestral, I think, clarinet player, I believe it is, and he was basically ousted from a symphony because he is a white guy. And this has been going on forever. I mean, they weren't exactly shy about this. They were writing articles about what a great thing it was that they were, and the cycle is hilarious. And actually, I got a retweet. I walked in today, and Editor Reese was like, I see you got a nod from the God King. I was like, what are you talking about? He was like, you don't know? You don't know you got the nod from the God King? It turns out Elon Musk retweeted me. So I think Bill Ackman retweeted me first. But it's basically this. A story that has stuck with me since it happened a few years ago. One, the New York Philharmonic is too white, so they institute blind auditions. But that backfires because even more white people get selected. So then they scrap the blind auditions and they start explicitly discriminating against white people. So here's the article, New York Times reverses policy on blind auditions. The paper's chief music critic, Anthony Tomasini, has called for blind auditions to be abolished because they impede the advance of diversity in orchestra. See, so what happens is you look at an orchestra and you see, wow, it's 90% white and Asian. Yet the population is only 60% white or Asian. It must be because it's racist. It must be. It's called the racism of the gaps. a phrase coined by Atheism is Unstoppable, but basically it says if there's a gap in achievement between races, the only thing you're allowed to consider as a the cause of that is racism. Oh, black people are sent to jail more. It's because the police are racist. Black people don't do well on tests. That's because the tests are racist. Got to get rid of the tests. And this just happens over and over. Diversity ad nauseum, as we put it. And so in order to correct from the imagined racism, they say, well, we'll just do blind auditions. That way those dirty racists, you know, the people that run the New York City Philharmonic, the classic KKK members, like, again, just the whole thing's retarded. But they say, you know, in order to defeat their racism, we'll do blind auditions. Ha! That'll trick them. They won't know who they're picking. They won't be able to pick their white friends anymore, right? So then you do a blind audition. You're judging entirely by the music and the music alone. They have no way of determining their, you know, decision on the basis of race, as pure as it can possibly be. What happens? More white people get chosen. More white people fill up. Instead of being 90, it's 95%. So instead of saying, okay, it wasn't racism that caused that initial gap, we were wrong about that, they say the racism is somehow so pervasive it even exists in blind auditions. We have to get rid of blind auditions. We have to overcome this racist gap, not by removing any possibility that it is racism by making blind auditions, but instead by putting into our selection process racist discrimination. Now we have a grading rubric, and somebody's race will actually be applied to whether or not they're hired, meaning you're not getting the best instrument players. You're getting a high proportion of black instrument players, regardless of their quality, regardless of the comparative quality against white people or Asians or anybody else. And so where this really gets dangerous is when you imagine or when you understand that this exact same type of overcorrection is being embedded into AI. So AI, if you ask AI a question, and we've been covering this, it's a fascinating thing because AI is just a truth calculator. It's a truth machine. It wants to tell you the truth because that's what it's programmed to do. But then they have to go in and actually stop it from telling the truth. They have to go in and say, well, you're not allowed to, you know, understand this series of events. You're not allowed to understand the cause and effect. We have to come in and program you to assert that it's racism that's causing the difference. And so when that gets built into the AI, when they're trying to overcome perceived, imagined, illusionary racism by programming racism into the machine, you understand how this is a major problem, because then people are going to think that AI is just objectively giving you a response, objectively telling you what is true and what is not, when in reality, underneath the surface, hidden inside the code, is this pre-designed bias that's intended to overcome racism that never existed in the first place. You understand? And again, this has happened in real life before. One of the things that they did was early on when they were working with, you know, early AI machine learning models, they tasked it with determining whether or not prisoners were likely to reoffend. So, you know, they have bail hearings or parole hearings, and you sort of have to go on the person's word, and you don't really have a lot to go, okay, is this person reformed? Are they just putting on an act? Do we let them out or not? And you don't really know. So they try to bring AI and go, okay, let's just feed everything into the AI machine, and then it will sort of grade people on this rubric. It'll compare previous cases. All right, here's a bunch of people that reoffended. What were their characteristics? Here's a bunch of people that didn't reoffend. What are their characteristics? To inform you so you can use computer to help you better decide whether somebody is worthy of parole. When they did that to the computer, it determined overall, in general, on average, it was more likely to say a black person would reoffend than a white person. Now, it's a robot, you understand. It is a machine. It's like a calculator. But they came out and said, okay, the machine is racist. The machine, the robot, the calculator, it must be racist. So we have to go in and correct for that, because they're, again, just completely illusionary, hallucinatory view of the world is that everything should be equal. Why? Because they want it to be, because they assert that it is. It's ridiculous. Why would two groups of people ever be equal in anything? We're not. No two people are equal ever. No two groups. The groups of people are even that less equal. So why would you demand that you always have an equal outcome? Because they're communist, equalitarian psychos. That's why. because they have a view of the world that is incompatible with reality. And so they're trying to force reality to fit their illusion rather than change their own mindset to comport with reality. They're dumb, evil, retarded people that are in control of our most important systems. It's not good. It's not good. Okay. So what we see with blind auditions, which do, in effect, like you cannot say that blind auditions are racist. Like that's impossible. That can't be the case. So if you have blind auditions and more white people get chosen than black people, that's just because the white people in this instance were the more talented group. That's just how it is. They can't have that. They can't stand for that. Their goal is this imagined fake equality, which, and we can even get into that because it's like, what are we talking about? It has to match the population of the city you're in or the country that you're in. Is it supposed to match the population of the world? I mean, what are we talking about here? It's all nonsense. It's all completely arbitrary. It's all just about hating and wanting to destroy white people at the end of the day. It's not that sophisticated. It's not that complicated. They just hate white people, okay? And they want to disadvantage white people, and they want less white people in the orchestra because white people bad. It's not that complicated. Let's go to this video of this gentleman. His name on X is Slim Zim. His name is James Zimmerman. And this story went fairly viral. I'm trying to scroll through. Clip 16 here. James Zimmerman, DEI, killed his career. And the reason I brought this up right now is because as of this morning, Carmeet Dillon and the DOJ has learned about this and says basically we're on it. It's illegal to discriminate on the basis of race. The Trump administration has outlawed DEI, so you can't do this anymore. And this is one of the greatest things about the Trump administration. With all the complaints we have about them and all the criticisms that we levy at them on a daily basis, you cannot deny that they respond to the will of the people. When enough people show attention on something, the Trump administration understands we better deal with this. Now, sometimes that's just a matter of throwing us a bone that doesn't actually mean anything. Like when everybody was questioning Charlie Kirk's assassination and Kash Patel comes out and goes, don't worry, we're looking at all of it. Well, that was 3 months ago and we haven't heard a word about any of it since. So it wasn't really a truthful thing that he said, but he did have to respond, right? So when it comes to something like the West Bank settlements, this is something that if we combine and unify our voices and speak out against this and tag the Trumps and tag people in the Trump administration and have a unified singular message. And I like Jason Jones's idea. They're trying to build settlements in the shepherd's field. That is the field where the shepherds on Christmas Eve were visited by an angel and told to go see baby Jesus in Bethlehem, that Advent story. It's that field, that literal field that I've heard about every year for my entire life during Advent. Like, can we stop that? Can we all come together and start posting hourly about these new settlements, and particularly this settlement, and calling on the Trump administration to do something about this and let him know that we're not voting if that's not the case? I think that is a very admirable and good use of our time, of our ability to influence the Trump administration. I think that's something we can get behind, and this can be effective. We've seen it because people like this gentleman here now have the attention of the Trump administration and they're moving to help him. We need to weaponize that level of responsiveness to actually achieve big global goals. But let's watch this story that's gone viral recently with Mr. James Zimmerman. Let's watch.
My name's James Zimmerman. I'm a clarinet player. You may not have heard of me, but if you've been to Disney World or played video games or watched Netflix, you've heard my playing. I'm a session player in Nashville, and I also work in big tech. Before tech, I was principal clarinet of the Nashville Symphony for 12 years, but in 2020, I got canceled for resisting DEI. It's a long story, easy to Google if you feel like it. So last summer, I took the blind audition for principal clarinet of the Knoxville Symphony, practiced like a madman for 2 months, and won the audition unanimously. I was very pumped. Until 2 days later, when their CEO called to tell me, we heard some things about your time in the Nashville Symphony, and refused to give me the job, wouldn't communicate with me, and gave the job to my runner-up, an obvious DEI hire who's still in college. Which is not just uncool, it's illegal. So a couple weeks ago, I sued them for a year's salary plus $25,000 to compensate me for the 100 hours I spent practicing for the audition they invited me to, with the understanding that they'd give me the job if I won. But more than that, I'm suing because these orchestras can't keep throwing out their best players to make room for diversity hires and putting race and politics above merit and skill. All this does is lower the quality of the music, alienate audiences, and turn the arts into politics. The Nashville Symphony got away with acting like this in 2020, but maybe the Knoxville Symphony shouldn't be able to in 2025. I wish I didn't have to do this. I was just looking to get back in the game, put 2020 behind me, and earn money for my kids' college doing what I love, but if I'm blacklisted, it's either push back against the people in charge or walk away. And if Knoxville thought I was walking away from this, they were sorely mistaken. Hopefully I'll win my lawsuit and make an example of the Knoxville Symphony, and orchestras will go back to hiring the best players the way they did before DEI ruined the business. It's either that or leftists keep running orchestras into the ground until they're gone completely, all in the name of diversity, equity, and inclusion. Give me a break. So follow me and see how the fight unfolds. I'll be doing some fundraising as well as posting clarinet clips and pictures of bread. Thanks for watching. Wish me luck.
So again, you know, it's great to see that this guy is getting a lot of attention and the Trump administration is now looking into this. Again, it would be nice if we didn't have to mount a whole social media campaign just to get them to enforce the basic laws that they literally ran on and then implemented. And we're seeing this everywhere. Like, DEI lost the debate, right? And it should have never even been a debate in the first place. It was always obvious from the beginning what this actually was. You can't defeat discrimination with more discrimination. That's ridiculous. And all you're doing is hampering yourself, your own organization. You're just not picking the best people. Like, we won this. We don't have to have this argument. We won this argument. We elected Trump in part on the basis that he would eliminate DEI, and he did. He eliminated it from the federal government. He issued orders to eliminate it from universities. Only the people that were subject to that order just ignored him. And we've been reporting on this the whole time. They were not shy about it. They would go, okay, we have to shut down our diversity and inclusion board now. So all the same people from that board are going to be on a new board called the Equality Board. It's not about diversity. It's about equality or whatever else. It's no longer the diversity board. Now it's the opportunity board. We'll call it an opportunity board. It'll do all the same stuff. We'll change the name. Technically, concede to the order, but actually everything is continuing at a pace. And like, they're getting away with that. As if that counts, as if that's fine, as if, you know, they can stick to the letter of the law, but not the spirit of the law. And again, they're getting away with this. And we have some videos to illustrate that. It's from Arizona State. So Arizona State University still has a diversity office. They just are lying about it. And this was a very funny gotcha moment, to be honest with you. We'll start with clip 15 here. We'll do clip 15, then we'll do clip 14. But this was the original undercover video. They later go revisit this professor and ask her about her statements. Here are the original statements. Let's go to clip 15 first.
We still have a diversity office. We still,
oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. We still, the college has a diversity office. The college has, we have a... it's an idea. It's called the Idea Office, and so it's like inclusivity and in course design,
okay,
and promoting diversity and equity. And so we still have that as part of our college.
And the Idea Department composes curriculum.
The Idea Office is like it's a central office that gives faculty like a toolbox of how to include these items and these pain points into your classes. Because for a lot of faculty, it's not something that they're necessarily as having conversations about race and having conversations about discrimination and having, you know, those are not conversations that a lot of really very
They're not very comfortable with being discriminated against. It's really, they're weird like that. Not comfortable having these conversations. Let's go to clip 14 here, again, undercover. So you just heard her there. We still have an office of diversity, equity, and inclusion. It's called the IDEA office. See, and it's not DEI, it's IDEA. See, it's completely different. They still do exactly the same thing. They still are flagrantly violating federal law, but, you know, with a wink and a nod. So I guess it's okay. Let's go to clip 14 now.
Things of that sort. So it's there, but I think that you're not going to find you're not going to find very many programs that are going to broadcast it the way it was before, because that the funding for universities, especially state-run universities like ASU, you know, it's really tied to funding. And, you know, if you have federal funds that are withheld, it really makes a big impact. So the curriculum is there still. It's just not, it's not as broadcast as it was before.
Yeah, it's not as broadcast as it was before. See, we're still doing it. We're just lying about it now. See how that works? See, we still have a DEI office, still does all the DEI stuff. We just call it something else and we're quiet about what we're doing because if they knew what we were doing, we'd lose federal funding. So that was an admission of guilt. Arizona State University should be completely cut off from federal funding until they can prove that they have actually disbanded these offices and actually ended these practices. Now, this is where the deception meets reality because that woman who was just caught on hidden camera admitting, yes, DEI is still in effect. Yes, we still do it. We're just being dishonest about it. She was then confronted by this and lies even more. Let's go to clip number 12 now. Arizona State University professor caught bragging about secretly pushing DEI gets confronted about that fact.
Your department was doing DEI in defiance of the federal executive order. Is that true?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, is this you on the video right here?
I have no idea what you're talking about. Right here, lady. Here's the video of you doing it. What do you mean you don't have any idea what you're doing? These people are the most abject, dishonest liars the world's ever seen. Let's watch another. Clip 13 here. Same journalist confronting that same professor. They're on video admitting the DEI is in office. How do you think she responds when she's confronted with her saying verbatim that they still practice DEI and up in flagrant violation of the federal orders in secret by lying about it? Let's see what she says.
You were explaining to our investigator that you're discontinuing things how they were done previously, maybe just changing some of the names, nothing more. You don't call the diversity office, you change the names. Is that true?
I have no idea. You'll have to talk to our...
I have no idea. You'll have to talk to our director. Scum. Scum, guys. We're just surrounded by scum. And I'm going to get more into this on the other side because, again, this is another thing that I've talked about forever. I swear, we need... We just need phrases to define this stuff because then we can identify it and define it and talk about it. But it's the idea that the right wing is always just assumed to be evil. They're just where it's just like assumed that anything that we support has to have some sort of evil ulterior motive. Like the best example recently is like the Somali fraud. It's like, guys, they stole $100 billion from you. And the left just won't even listen because there's like, oh, you're just racist. Oh, you just must be racist. And so you've made this up. Like they will not. I mean, it's a deliberate strategy they have where they say we will not confront or entertain or deal with your assertions by just saying you're right wing so we don't have to. And so true things just go completely unaddressed because the right wing is not allowed to have legitimate concerns about anything. Everything has to be some sort of ulterior motive, even though we're constantly right about everything and proven right about everything. I'm going to get into that on the other side. I do want to remind you to go to thealexjonesstore.com, thealexjonesstore.com. We have some incredible new products and some incredible new combo products, like the blue tallow, bovine blue tallow on thealexjonesstore.com is a new combination of our methylene blue and our beef tallow, and it's a skincare regimen. Remember I was saying, I mean, tallow is one of the most popular skin care ingredients, and we have the best on the market. Get your blue tallow today at thealexjonesstore.com. And there are some massive sales. I'm telling you, folks, there are some sales that I'm not even sure I should tell you about. Like, I think it might be a mistake that we made. I'm not even kidding. I will tell you about it, but like, we're kind of losing a lot of money with it. I'll tell you on the other side.
I'm funded by you, and I appreciate your support. Very humbly, thank you for your support, those that have. Those that have it, what are you waiting for? Our information is bar none the best. The supplements are game-changing. The methylene blue, the Shilajit, the IRC moss, the widest selection of Patriot apparel, t-shirts, ball caps, hoodies, sweaters, you name it. But there's a deal going for a few more days where you buy any supplement and get a bottle of the Shilajit gummies or Atomic Defense Super Immune Booster free. You choose which free gift you want. That funds our operation at thealexjonesstore.com. I want to thank those that have stood with us. If you're going to buy anything, become a VIP. Just in your profile, $30 a month, cancel any time, no charge. You get $40 every time you spend $30 to spend. So you make $10, you're going to buy anything, you should be a VIP. You get special deals, special offers, special sales on top of everything. Also, you get big discounts when you use the app for Android or for Apple at alexjonesapp.com. Just links you through to get the free apps right there. So it's the same shopping cart online. TheAlexJonesStore.com. I want to thank you all for your support.
People can use this as a teaching moment that, you know, I see a lot of people out there who think they can imitate Alex Jones, and they have never understood the amount of work that goes in to the detailed reports that you do. But the second part is, okay, if you're out there, you want to be Alex Jones or replicate Alex Jones, Alex teaches you the way to do it, just pay attention. One is learn history. Understand history. Understand what templates to look for. Once you understand that, you understand what the play is going to look like. And then you're just looking for who to cast in what roles, because you understand the broader course of history, how these things tend to operate, how assassinations tend to occur, how cover-ups tend to happen, how false flags occur, how staged events occur, how also could the various forms of COINTELPRO type psyops to infiltrate dissident movements to distract them from the real conspiracy into fake conspiracy in order to feed a fake conspiracies into people who otherwise would be investigating the real conspiracy. Also to act as a discrediting agent. So learn the methodologies, learn how to look at how to review sources, how to understand the psychology of the participants involved. Once you understand that, you can be much more accurate and predictive at what took place with more explanatory power and more predictive capacity. And that's what Alex does, is massive amounts of work that starts with understanding history.
Welcome to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing, and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster. Every crisis is an opportunity, and the world will be reshaped in our vision. Down with the globalist. Get ultra methylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
All right, welcome back, folks. We still have a lot to talk about on today's episode of The War Room. Just quickly here, you know, finishing off, since I saw a lot of people mentioning this. Jeremy Kaufman, allow me to share one of my favorite paragraphs. Left-wing authoritarians cannot perceive of their authoritarianism. Conservative Americans who scored high on authoritarian questionnaire had no problem saying, yes, I am authoritarian. But liberals were a different thing entirely. Not only were liberal authoritarians less likely than conservatives to accurately identify themselves as authoritarian, when they were, in fact, authoritarian, but there was actually a negative correlation between left-wing authoritarianism, the reality, and liberals' willingness to identify as authoritarian, their own perception. That means the more authoritarian liberals are, the less they believe they are authoritarian. Isn't that interesting? In other words, the more liberals want to control your life, want to dictate what you are and are not allowed to believe, want to dictate what you are and are not allowed to purchase or support or enjoy, the more they think they're fighting for freedom. The right wing has no illusions about this. The right wing says, you know, in this case, I am authoritarian, right? I want you know, the state to do this. That's an authoritarian position. Yeah, I'm authoritarian. The liberals go, I want the state to crush my enemies, but I'm not authoritarian. I'm the loving liberal one. The point is they're insane. The point is that they have cognitive dissonance that seeps through their every pore. They are waterlogged by their own hypocrisy. It truly is incredible. And it goes down to things like this. I think this is definitely true. This is what Wayne X says in response to this user named Esther Zelda. She says, so this left-wing person says, this is unilateral because Republicans support policies that are malicious. Deep down, even Republicans know that, which is why they're okay associating with Democrats. They know Democrats don't have malicious policies, even for all their public whining about it. Right, so that's the perspective of most liberals, is Republicans support policies that are malicious. Deep down, even Republicans know that. Because remember, we can't actually believe anything, right? When we say, hey, these illegal immigrants are driving up our home prices, making it unaffordable for, you know, a young person to buy a home, making it that much more difficult to start a family, like this is a really bad thing. In addition to all the other things about illegal immigration that just really disadvantage the native people. And liberals, they don't hear any of that. All they hear is like the adults from the Charlie Brown cartoons. They just hear, wah, 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 I hate brown people. Wah, 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 wah. Like that's what that's all they interpret. They can't possibly actually try to understand where we're coming from or have any empathy for the people actually, you know, subjected to tyrannical oppression. Because they think they're the good guys. They don't have to care about what we say or what we believe, because we've been slandered as bad guys. We are the bad guys, so therefore, everything we say, even if they think it's good, it must be some sort of ulterior motive. We don't actually care about having an affordable housing market. We don't actually care about, you know, our kids going to safe schools. No, it's just we just want to be racist everywhere, and we're just coming up with excuses for it, right? It's this constant, you know, scanner darkly that they see through. And of course, this is in response. And so in response to that, Wayne at XWayneX, I think it's definitely true that a lot of people feel this way, that Republicans are malicious, whereas Democrats are just misguided, bleeding hearts. This is a PR problem for sure, but it does not accurately reflect reality. Liberals are, in fact, full of hatred. They resent the rich, the successful. They hate their own country. They're full of racial animosity. And they really, truly, legitimately, no joke, think that they're better than you. And as the poll demonstrates, which is, of course, its own brand of malice. And he responds with a bunch of screenshots of this Sia Weaver woman, who is now, you know, one of Ma'am Donnie's lieutenants, where she says all these horrible things, right? I also endorse a no more white men in the office platform. KKK are a violent Christian group, and keep us all safe on this busy travel day, Delta, kick all the white people in Christmas outfits off planes. Really needing to repress the desire for revenge right now. I wish I believed in God so I could believe that all men who take credit for women's work and all white men who take credit for the work of women in color would one day burn. Like, these people are just literally seething in hatred. Impoverish the white middle class. Home ownership is racist. Impoverish the white middle class. Home ownership is racist. These people are not motivated by anything good. They're just hateful idiots. They've somehow convinced themselves that they're the good guys, but they're not, so we don't have to treat them like they're the good guys. They're evil. They're the evil ones. They actually believe the things that they project onto us, which I remind you is why they projected onto us. Remember, they have no theory of mind for conservatives. That's why they can't conceive of what we believe. They cannot have empathy with us when we say we don't like that our neighborhoods are unrecognizable. They have no theory of mind for us. All they think is that we're racist, so they don't have to listen to us. They're the good guys. We're the bad ones, because in their mind, they have that mindset. They have this vicious, hateful, winner-take-all, dog-eat-dog streak of just inhumanity that they project on the rest of us as if we are party to them in this just blatant deception about their fundamental beliefs. No, we actually say what we believe. We actually have the evidence to back up what we say. And it's all very simple. Look at this ghoul. It's like, now it's time to tap that sign. Tap the sign that says communism is nothing but like basically ugly, deformed freaks who hate beauty and want to tear it down. Like, that's it. At the heart of it, it's just politicized resentment. That's it at the end of the day. It's like the video we played on the show yesterday, where, you know, during New Year's, or I guess it was Friday, during New Year's celebrations in France, you have all these socialist lefties with laser pointers trying to blind the people who have balconies who can see the fireworks from their nice balcony. Like, these people can't, the people on the ground can't get to the balcony. Like, it's not like it's being stolen from them. They're just mad that somebody else has something they don't. Those people have a nice apartment where they have a nice view of the fireworks, and so they have to be punished. It has to be destroyed for them. It would never enter into their mind to be like, hey, you know, those people have something really nice. I'd like that one day, too. I'm glad for them that they have that, even though I don't. I have no animosity towards somebody who has something I don't have. They didn't steal it from me. Communism is simply the political expression of biological reality. It's a bunch of ugly, stupid, jealous, vindictive, envious freaks that want to tear you down because that's easier than building anything else up. These people are sick. It goes even deeper than that because they are able to weaponize this racial envy, weaponize the racism that lies at the very center, the heart of the liberal coalition is entirely about hating white people, right? It's obvious from everything that they say. And that really informs like everything about what they think. And so you have this racial animus, you have this racial envy. And so you weaponize that by going, well, things that are white, they don't say it like this, but what they're saying in effect is things that are white are things that make you strong and independent, right? Home ownership, that's a white thing. Free speech, oh, you mean white supremacy, right? I mean, literally, you can go through like the Bill of Rights. You can go through all of the things that make you protected against coercion or influence, right? We talk about this all the time. What are the things that make a person mentally strong? Having a family is like the number one thing, because when you have a family that's tight, that loves each other unconditionally, then you have nothing to fear from the outside world. I can go out and say whatever I want. I can offend whoever I want, knowing that I still have my family, that nobody will take that away from me. That's a safety net for whatever happens socially. Okay. Obviously having money makes people freer than not having money, right? Having generational wealth can obviously free you up to pursue your own goals, to not be having to live paycheck to paycheck. Home ownership, having equity, paying into something, a savings store that you can then, you know, draw upon later. That makes you free. That makes you independent. They're trying to get rid of that. So they take the racial animus against white people and transmogrify it into hatred of the things that make you strong, independent, and not a slave. So if they can demonize white people, in effect, what they're doing is demonizing all the things that white people came up with, like human rights and individualism, not collective responsibility, and, you know, freedom of ownership and freedom of conscience and freedom of speech and all these things. They demonize by associating it with whiteness, which they very effectively cause hatred over, because there's already this underlying simmering racial resentment that they can draw upon and activate and weaponize. Hope you understand all that. And it's not a coincidence that the very same people that Mamdani is bringing into his administration, we're talking about getting rid of private ownership, are also the people whose Twitters are replete with hatred of white people. It's not really that complicated. Let's go to some of these videos. We can go to clip number nine here. This is Sia Weaver, the woman that we just read. She hates white people. She wants white people to feel hateful and defeated. And here she is talking about private ownership of your home being outdated. So they're going to use the government to seize private property. It's the first shots in a communist revolution. Here's Sia Weaver.
I think the reality is that for centuries, we've really treated property as an individualized good and not a collective good. And we are going to transitioning to treating it as a collective good and towards a model of shared equity. will require that we think about it differently. And it will mean that families, especially white families, but some POC families who are homeowners as well, are gonna have a different relationship to property than the one that we currently have.
Yeah, they're gonna steal your property. The relationship with property that we have now is that you can buy property and then you own it. And that's, they're going to have to change that. They're going to take that away. Here she is again. This is New York City's new tenant director saying that people like home ownership because they like control, which is rooted in a racist and classist society. Now she's telling the truth here, just from an inverted perspective. Let's watch the next clip. Next clip on the list, clip 10.
Democratically controlled public housing is really important. And that's why when Raquel is talking about the communities and that she's describing, that, you know, that's a self, it's a created community where the people who are living there are like setting the agenda. And so, you know, people like home ownership because they like control, and that's been perverted by like deep racism and deep classism in our society. So like, we have to not have a racist and classist society. And so that's like something we need to think about like deeply. It's about control, and why rent control is really important is because rent control alters the dynamic, the power dynamic between renters and who owns the building. And
yeah, it's about control. It's about control. And she's right. It is about control. When you own a house, you control it. She wants to take that control away from you. That's what it's about. She's right. She's absolutely right. And she's letting you know that right now, is that when you own a home, you're in control. She wants to be in control, so you aren't allowed to own a home anymore. I mean, this is the death of the world as we know it. Like, this is the warning bells of the communist takeover. I mean, it's almost, I mean, what do we do about this? Because these people aren't secretive about this. They're open about it. And there's kind of this thing where, you know, if a Democrat is open about what they intend to do and then they get elected and they start to do it, it's like, well, what are you going to say? Like, we've moved on. Because you remember, we broke this story a few years ago, and it was around a city council election in Austin. And the city councilman, Jimmy Flanagan, was a socialist guy, and his campaign manager was like a well-known like Antifa communist agitator. And people were getting mad at Jimmy Flanagan as he was running for city council and saying, why is he talking about private property? And we want a socialist in charge. And so the campaign manager in these private groups goes, guys, if we say what we're going to do, nobody would vote for us, right? If we were to come out and say we're socialist and we want to destroy private property, nobody would vote for us. So we're going to say these things, but trust us, guys. I'm the one in charge. Like, I'm the one doing things behind the scenes. So vote for this guy, even though he says he's not a socialist. We'll enact socialist policies once we're in office. It's just we can't talk about them now because nobody would vote for them, right? So that's like a fundamental betrayal of democracy itself, a fundamental betrayal of the relationship between the voters and the people in office. When the people in office or their, you know, lieutenants are saying, we're lying, okay? Don't worry, guys. Don't worry, my radical friends. We're lying about being centrist. Once we're in office, we'll really, you know, be socialist. That was like 5 years ago. Things have changed since then. They don't need to hide it anymore. They're just saying it, and people are still voting for them. So what do we do at this point? It's not fair. It's not fair. It's not fair to the people who didn't vote for this and have, you know, work towards purchasing their own home, that this ugly weirdo gets to come in and take it from them because she has some nonsensical ideas that have been defunct and proven wrong 100 years ago. It's like, what do we do about this? I don't know, but I think, Carlin Borishenko had some interesting responses to this. Friend of the show at Dr. Carlin B on X, in response to my tweet, she says, thank you. Whiteness means capitalism equals private property ownership. Black people can be white if they own property. That's the vocabulary at play here when they're talking about this. When they say, like, yeah, white people are going to be affected, that's because, like, even the POCs, as they put it, right? Even the people of color that own homes, yeah, you're going to be screwed over too. We don't actually care about that. We just want to destroy private property. That's the vocabulary that they're using. She goes on, guys, I can't correct every conservative on here who doesn't understand that whiteness means capitalism. They have no desire to defeat the left. It's only about advancing their BS talking points. I have to focus on people who actually care. But I think that's very interesting. Whiteness means capitalism to them. It also means whiteness. Like, I think they also just hate white people in general. But it's all predicated on this sort of transitive property of whiteness that goes, whiteness is bad. Whiteness is defined by things that make you free. Therefore, freedom is bad. Like, it's pretty simple, actually, at the end of the day. As Matthew Schmitz says on X, in 2016, Mamdani's director of appointments wrote, quote, it's important that white people feel defeated. In 2018, his housing advisor wrote, impoverish the white middle class. Mamdani's own platform called for raising taxes on, quote, richer and whiter neighborhoods. Okay, so they just hate white people. Again, not that complicated. Really not that complicated at all. But important to understand, and evil and vicious and racist and ugly. What are we talking about? I'm sorry, what are we talking about again? So that's what's happening in New York, is these scumbags are getting into office, and it's going to go horribly for a little while. Sorry to tell you. We have a lot to get into. We haven't even talked about this, and we really need to get to it because it broke, I think, during Alex's show, so he wasn't even able to comment on it. I'd be surprised if he hasn't released a report on this anyway. The UK, France, Germany, and several other European countries today signed an agreement to provide a permanent international defense force for Ukraine. So the push towards World War III is not only not slowing down, it is in fact speeding up. And despite England, France, and Germany being themselves in a state of absolute siege, of invasion, the likes of which those countries have never seen before, they want to send battalions of soldiers to Ukraine to continue to fight against Russia forever, I guess. And this is part of the frustration I understand from Alex and that I share with Alex, that we spent a lot on the show today talking about Israel, talking about, you know, Christians in the Middle East. The Ukraine war is maybe the most evil thing going on in the world right now. It is unspeakably evil what is being done to Ukraine, how flagrant their behavior is, how at this point, Ukraine is not anything but a highly funded death camp, essentially. UK and France agreed to deploy forces to Ukraine in the event of a peace deal. Starmer and Macron signed declaration of intent following Paris meeting. And the Chancellor of Germany has gotten in on this as well. We've got a few videos about this, and some other videos to put it in context as well. Do we have the video of Starmer talking about this? Because Keir Starmer has come out. All right, let's go to Keir Starmer here, and then we'll show another video of the real war that the UK should be fighting. But here's Starmer saying that this war in Ukraine is never going to end and only going to get worse. Let's watch.
Today, we signed a declaration of intent on the deployment of forces to Ukraine in the event of a peace deal. This is a vital part of our ironclad commitment to stand with Ukraine for the long term. It paves the way for the legal framework under which British, French, and partner forces could operate on Ukrainian soil, securing Ukraine's skies and seas, and regenerating Ukraine's armed forces for the future. We discussed these issues in detail today, and so I can say that following a ceasefire, the UK and France will establish military hubs across Ukraine and build protected facilities for weapons and military equipment to support Ukraine's defensive needs. And with our coalition partners, we've also agreed significant further steps. First, that we will participate in US-led monitoring and verification of any ceasefire. Second, we will support the long-time provision of armaments for Ukraine's defence. And third, we will work towards binding commitments to support Ukraine in the case for a future armed attack by Russia. This is all about building the practical foundations on which peace would rest.
Okay, so a permanent international security force in Ukraine forever. I mean, this is ridiculous, especially when this is the condition of the UK. The UK government is now admitting they've essentially lost control of the West Midlands. They are afraid to enforce anything on the Islamic communities in the West Midlands because they're armed and will fight back. So they want to send young English boys to Ukraine to die in a fight against Russia while their own homeland is being colonized to the point that the UK government is unwilling to even try to get these people out. Let's watch.
Why are we only hearing about this now? Why is it that a report has come at lunchtime today from the Times newspaper that you had information on the 5th of September that there were likely to be vigilante groups within the West Midlands community itself who were planning to take action against the Maccabi fans? How is it that this committee is just hearing this for the first time?
Well, I think this is the first time specifically that you've asked for that detail. That's what we tried. Outrageous. That's what we tried to get across.
Absolutely outrageous.
Yeah. So police were like afraid to tell that the mosques were arming themselves and have militias that are roving around hurting people. Because they're afraid. Because the Muslims are armed and will fight back. See, they can crush the British people, because the British people will go along with it. They won't fight back. They won't arm themselves. They won't kill the police officers that come to get them. The Muslims will. So the Muslims aren't subject to laws. The English people are. And the people that have presided over this have just signed an agreement to send soldiers to Ukraine to defend that landmass that has been depopulated for the profit margins of Goldman Sachs and BlackRock. It is sickeningly evil what's happening there, and they want it to happen forever, at least till they get World War III kicked off in full force.
If you ask Grok, or if you ask a sports nutritionist, or if you ask the nutritionists on the Olympic teams, they will tell you that creatine is absolutely a must. TheAlexJonesStore.com already has the very best creatine you can get on the market. Now we're introducing this, and I am extremely excited. Let me introduce you to this bad boy that comes in two delicious flavors. That is the recommended daily allowance of the highest quality type of creatine. Right there, concentrated, the very best. We get it from the top lab in the country, the highest rating. 5 milligrams of this a day. Most people think creatine is just about better muscle, healthier, more stamina. It's been proven, it's been documented. I'll show you what Grok had to say about it here in just a moment. But the first thing you need to understand is that it's not just making your muscles better or your body be able to do more exercise. It's doing all these incredible things for your brain and everything else. And that's really more and more what scientists are saying people should focus on with creatine. And just since I've been taking creatine for the last few months, it has had dramatic effects on my clarity, my focus, my energy, especially when used with ultramethylene blue. Again, everybody knows about muscle and performance, or most people do, but what are the other benefits? Grok says secondary emerging benefits, improves anaerobic capacity and power output, may increase glycogen storage in muscles when combined with carbs. Potential brain benefits, improves cognitive performance under sleep deprivation or mental fatigue. Possible neuroprotective effects being studied in traumatic brain injury, Parkinson's, depression, etc. May benefit vegetarians and others who have a lower level of creatine in their diet. Who benefits the most? Older adults, strength and power, people with low dietary creatine. It goes on and on. Bottom line, If you're not taking creatine, you're crazy, and we've got the best.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.